Light those searchlights up on the tower. Right now. Move, move.
I listen to 2ARM, 92.1 FM, in the car and at work, for great tunes and community news.
Hello, I'm Herb and welcome to Community Spotlight. Every Friday we shine a spotlight on one of our community members, and this morning I've got Lyndon Hardman. Good morning, Lyndon.
Good morning, Herb, and happy Christmas to you.
Thank you, and thanks for coming in and being the focus of our spotlight this morning. Now, you were born in Armidale.
Born in Armidale in 1935, I was, yes.
And you're pushing 90, 89.
Got about 4 months to go. Hope I make it.
Everybody says that, but I'm sure you will. Now, you tell me you were born in a hospital that's no longer in Armidale, the Kiola.
Yes, Kiola or Kiola. It's somewhere near Arkham Street North. Oh, I don't remember the name of it, but I believe the property still has the name Kiola written on the door.
Oh, right. So that was a hospital. Was that before the base hospital was built?
It was, yes.
And you came home in a shoebox with a
dislocated hip, I was told.
Oh, okay.
My hip seemed to be quite fine at 89, so...
Well, you're lucky then.
Didn't do me a lot of damage.
Schools. What schools did you go to back then?
Can't remember what year, but I attended Benvenue, North Armidale, and then the Armidale High School. I may be wrong on the year, but I think Armidale High School was about 1947.
Do you remember much of time as a child growing up in Armidale? You lived in Armidale itself, up on Marsh
Street. In Marsh Street, right, Herb, Street. Yeah. 37 Marsh Street. Next door, my dad had a drive-in service station and garage, and I can remember quite clearly watching all the army vehicles going up and down Marsh Street. I can remember tickets that you had to have if you wanted to buy meat or clothing during the war years.
So the ration
coupons. I've still got a few of them in a collection of junk I have.
Well, you won't be able to pass them in at the moment.
Probably not.
You remember the creek flooding, mate?
I do remember frequently the Jumeric Creek used to cut the roadway just near Stevens Bridge. That'd be blocked off for, say, maybe half a day, sometimes only three or four hours. But that doesn't occur very often now.
So I saw a very old photo. I don't know if you remember any of these. A very old photo of where they sandbagged there at Faulkner Street and had little yacht regattas when they pooled the water up behind their little dam. Do you remember any of that those days? It might have been before you.
It was probably before my time. We were married in 1958, and not long after that we lived on Kirkwood Street, fronting the creek. Pretty cold there in winter. Had ice on the bedroom windows, I can recall. Sandbagging? No, I don't remember that. But I do remember a Volkswagen with Mr. Woodward inside of it floating down the flooded creek one day.
Well, he was silly enough to try and drive through.
He tried to drive a Volkswagen through, and they float fairly easily.
With a flat pan?
A flat pan, and not a lot of weight in them.
So you just mentioned you were married. You were married in 1958 to Judy.
Judy Veal. Judy Veale, and her dad managed the Lambert's furniture department, I believe, furniture and floor covering.
Your family, siblings, you had, there was two boys and three girls growing up in Armidale, and then when you were married, you had six children.
Six children, correct. Five boys.
And one girl.
And one daughter. And my wife's family were exactly the opposite. They had five girls and one boy.
Oh, there you go.
Bit of a crossover there.
Yeah, yes, definitely. Now, your first job. Tell me about your first job. That was with your father?
That was with my dad, Ernie Hardman. Christmas 1950. I wasn't doing well at school. Didn't even get an intermediate certificate at the end of that year. And Dad was kind enough to employ me as a cleaner. And that included pumping tyres on customers' cars, pumping petrol, filling oil bottles, and he was most particular. Every second day, the windows of the showroom had to be chamoyed down, and they were great big glass sheets. 121 Marsh Street.
But I suppose if you're selling automobiles, people want to be able to see them, and they don't want to see them through dirty windows.
Swept the footpath, and I remember Dad was one of the first people that had a lighted showroom with a time clock on it. And so people could walk past at night and see what was on offer in motor cars.
Well, window shopping, even in my time growing up, window shopping was a big thing. You know, Saturday evening, go for a walk along the street coming into town,
yeah,
and just doing some window shopping, seeing the lights on at night.
even early in our married life, I remember window shopping when television sets were all the show in the main street in the windows.
So he had the General Motors, Vauxhall, Bedford trucks, Pontiacs. What was this, what were those cars?
They, like? They were General Motors cars from 1937, Pontiacs, Buicks, Oldsmobile. Oldsmobile gave up building cars about 2010 in America. But we, Dad kept that franchise from 1937 till 1966.
Was that when the Holden franchise as well?
There's another company, R.A. Jakes & Co., and it was renamed New State Motors. They got the Holden franchise, and that was all they had at the time, until 1957. There was a shortage of imported cars at that time. Dad was offered to share the Holden franchise. I had one of the first ones he ever got, and that was 1957 Holden FE station wagon. Took that on our honeymoon, I did, 1958.
So then you went into the Chrysler franchise, which is Valiants, Humbers, Snipes, Hillman Imps, Hillman Hunters.
Hunters, that's right, too. Cars. Yep, yep. And the release of the Valiant Charger, until they went to a V8 engine in that, and they raced it competitively.
So 1972, Toyota franchise.
Toyota franchise, great franchise, looked after us for 28 years.
And that was Mercedes as well.
Oh, we did have Mercedes-Benz for 15 or 18 years, good people to deal with.
And then the Nissan franchise.
The Nissan franchise placed a Toyota in our new site I built in 1986, borrowed $1 million from the Westpac Bank, built that new asset. Nissan came on board in the year 2000 with Honda, and we also had Kubota mowers and tractors. We've leased the building, so it's locally managed now by Armadale Automotive. I think I can remember having a maximum of 28. Being trained as a mechanic in the early years, I can remember two or three of the old people that really well respected in Armadale in that mechanical field, and that was Toby Legg, Frank Pearson.
But Des, your brother, was also a partner in...
Yes, Des is younger than me by about 5 years, and he trained and was well qualified as a spray painter and panel beater, and he still does quite a bit of that in his collection of motor cars and restorations.
So it's no surprise then that you've collected a few cars. Now tell me about the first collectible car that you ever found. Where'd you find it? Where'd you get it?
Well, it's a very rare Italian car, and I've got a great respect for Italian motor cars. It's a Sotta Fraschini Type 8, built in 1921, and the open tourer body on it was built by a firm in Sydney called Fisacoli. Fisacoli built this aluminium skin body. I don't know who bought it new. It was then sold to someone in Grafton, and he was an Italian person with 8 daughters. During the Second World War, the car was purchased by a local fellow because it had 4 new tyres on it, and tyres were a very restricted product during war years. He was a mining type, and I can still remember some of the samples were under the front seat in the big toolboxes. The car is the world's first straight 8 engine production model. It sold for more money than Rolls-Royce did at various times. Some of the cars they produced in Italy had floors, marble floors, and gold thread in some of the seat trim.
So where did you find the car? So it was a miner down the sticks there somewhere, but where did you find the car?
I found the car parked alongside of a house in Barney Street, only a block away from the Catholic Church. I went and asked this old gentleman, Gibson, John or Jack Gibson, and he said, come down, boy, on a Saturday after work, talk to me about the car. So I went down, had a look at it, no tyres, the upholstery, beautiful leather, original upholstery was all gone rotten. He said, how much money you got, boy? And I pulled my wallet out and I said, oh, I've only got 30 quid. With that, he grabbed the 30 quid and said, that'll do. So I owned the car then, and I still own it 67 years
later.
It's
been fully restored, though, of
course. It's been restored. The upholsterer, Stan Blanco, did the hood back in the 1960s for me. The hood's still on there in really good condition. The car's now registered because of a recent wedding, so it'll be seen around Armadale in the next few months.
Oh, very nice. So is it right to say that you collected your cars through your time having the franchises of Toyota in trade-ins and also offers, people would offer you cars?
Herb, you're right there. Some cars I couldn't put on the lot. I just had to own them. So once they were traded, I'd pay for them and take them home. And then because I'd collected a number of cars back in the 60s and 70s, local people were aware that I did collect nice cars, and I was offered some beautiful things. Can I just mention one? Would you believe I used to go to Sunday school, and Mrs. Hoy used to pick me up in a 1939 Dodge Coupe. In her will, she left a message, if Lyndon Hardman pays enough, he can have my car. So I still own that 39 Dodge.
Oh, very nice. So tell me, what's your favourite car?
Herbert, it has been and always is my 1927 Lancia Lambda. Because I mentioned that I've still got great respect for Italian design, this 1927 car is a V4 of about 2.8 litres. It has overhead camshaft, it has independent front suspension, it has a mono-constructed body, it has coil springs in the front with a hydraulic shock absorber. It's a shorter wheelbase than the standard model, so it's a limited edition. Goes like smoke. I just love it.
So that came from Mullally, and I think you were telling me you swapped it for a Land Rover.
Herb, you're right again. Yes, the old gentleman asked me why I wanted to collect this old car. He had it since new, and it was run down, and mud guards were cracked. It was in very sad condition. I told him at that stage I had three sons, I wanted to leave them a car each. And he said, all right, find me a Land Rover, I can drive around the paddocks, and I'll do your swap. And that's what had occurred. His wife and he went and got dressed up in their finery, came out and road tested the Lancia about 8 years later after it had been restored. He said, I don't like your yellow wheels, but the rest of the car's still good.
You've got 70 to 80 cars now collected in your collection, but that's probably expands out to about 140 across your family. Dez, yes. I know Rick is into Holden's, Dez.
And Philip.
And Phil.
That's right. Yeah, 140 covers it, and I don't have enough sheds to put them all in at the moment.
Well, that leads us to some plans for the future, I suppose.
It does.
Been talk for a long time about trying to house some sort of motor museum in Armidale to bring the tourists, you know, to try and benefit some of our economy. One of the latest things is a site out at the airport. So where are we to that?
During the negotiations for the subdivision at the airport, council, Armidale Council, agreed to let us lease a block, 5,000 square metres, to put a transport museum on. And that building is planned and has a DA into the council for a 3,000 square metre building. Should comfortably house 100 cars. Certainly they won't be all our cars. We'd like to include other means of transport as well. Aircraft, hopefully some rail stuff.
So we talk about Italian. I've got two motors from the first Ducati, the Cuculio 48cc little pup motors. They could go out there as well.
I'd love to see them. We've organised a mezzanine floor and a lift so that people can go up and enjoy some of that sort of exhibit. One collector in Armidale has over 40 motorcycles, and they have regular events. I don't know whether Herb gets out on those or not. It's pretty
well,
busy
the chain
man.
Gags are Wednesday.
That's right.
So yes. Wednesday run. I don't get to many of those, but I do get to the Sunday morning coffee and chat, which is very good. So that's still in the planning. So we just watch that space.
Still in plans. We've applied Armidale Regional Council's help for a grant, a Commonwealth grant. That's only gone in our application about a month ago. Hopefully we'll get an answer in the next 2 or 3 months.
Well, watch this space, because I know Inverell, they have plenty of people come through to the Motor Museum at Inverell, and you know, the talk's always been how positive it would be for Armidale to have a lot of cars in one place where people could go and admire and stop in and spend their money in Armidale for our economy. So that'd be fantastic. So this sort of takes me then to the Classic and Specialist Car Club of New South Wales. So that's our local classic car club. But you tell me that the name's been changed. It's a bit of a mouthful. The name's been changed to the Armidale Car Club.
Only recently that's happened. So some of the badges and paperwork has all had to be changed to negotiate that incorporation, in fact. And it's well underway. That club now has over 280 vehicles registered within it. I think that's including motorcycles. It's a popular place, a good attendance at meetings.
Well, that's what I was surprised. You go to a meeting on a Wednesday once a month, the room's packed.
Correct,
which
yeah.
is quite surprising for community organisation.
Yes. Just while you're on the subject of Inverell's Museum, we've never wanted to be a competitor in that field. We'd really like to negotiate and help with bus tours, which would benefit both museums and perhaps as far south as Tamworth.
Well, I think you wouldn't be in competition because you are far enough away. You're not round the corner.
Hardly.
You know, far away, and you can go out through Bundara. There's a good road out through Bundara to Inverell, or go through Gyra across there.
Yeah. So the opportunities are just incredible because Dorigo has got a magnificent display of rail and very rare steam engines, etc. out there.
If they can get their museum up and running as well.
Yeah.
You were one of the founding members of that Classic and Specialist Car Club of New South Wales. So I've got a few on my list here. Ray Chill, Ron Thorpe, Robert Bradley, Brian Matthew and Arthur Ackling.
Yes.
And yourself.
And me.
Yep. And you. So back in those days you decided to start a club up, and I know Arthur, may he rest in peace, Arthur was from Tamworth, or from the Tamworth Car Club. He did a lot of racing. And
he did.
Did all that type of stuff, and he got into Rolls Royces.
Yes, we've had several Rolls Royces in club at various times, and also Aston Martin. There were 8 registered Aston Martins in the club back in the 1980s. I still have one.
You've got a DB9.
No, a DB5.
DB5, sorry.
James Bond model.
James Bond model. And that was at the Antique Chinery Day.
Yes.
A couple of weeks ago.
Created a bit of interest.
Yep. Now that's what you want. And I think the cars do draw people in, a bit like music, you know. People want to come and listen to the music, want to come and see, well, and also go and see a car, have a nice meal. So if we can get something going up at the airport with maybe a small little restaurant cafe, that'd be great.
Absolutely. Need to cater for people, not just men and their motor cars. My mum left a collection of dolls and antique toys, which really should be displayed in a museum like that to entertain the children and the ladies.
Well, I suppose because so many people are travelling, grey nomads are travelling through Armagh, we've got the New England Highway, it's a perfect spot where people can pull in if there's enough parking there allocated. So I really hope that we can get that museum up and running at the airport, that we might put a couple of My Motors in there, and hopefully we can bring some much-needed economy into Armidale as a result of that development.
I'm sure Armidale will benefit, Armidale and New England.
Well, I think that's about it, Lyndon. It's been great to listen to your journey. Thanks very much for coming in.
Thank you, Herb. Thank Good you. On you.
Thanks, Lyndon. You're one of our gems in our community. You've been here a long time, and the best for Christmas and your 90th birthday in April next year. Thanks, and that's Community Spotlight.
Broadcast, then podcast. If you missed it or want to hear it again, then visit our webpage, 2arm.net.au/podcast. I listen to 2ARM, 92.1 FM, in the car and at work, for great tunes and community news.